Rhode Island saw an uptick in calls to domestic violence helplines in 2020 as people were directed to stay home to prevent the spread of COVID-19. As much of Rhode Island reopens now, advocates for survivors of domestic violence say the need for support services remains high. Antonia Ayers Brown has the story.
Hello, Women's Resource Center. Nita speaking. How can I help you?
Neda De Jesus is the residential director at a domestic violence prevention agency in Newport.
Is this due to domestic violence? Are you in a safe place to talk to me right now?
She runs the Women's Resource Center's 12-bed emergency shelter, as well as its transitional housing program, where women and their children can stay for up to 2 years while they look for a safe permanent home. She says that even before COVID, the center couldn't keep up with requests for housing.
There's never enough beds. Whether we have a high increase in calls or a decrease in calls, we can't serve everyone because we just don't have enough beds.
Since the pandemic began, that's only gotten worse. Last summer, the Women's Resource Center rented additional space to double the emergency shelter's capacity. With those extra beds, the center managed to shelter twice as many people last year as it did the year before. But Executive Director Jessica Walsh says demand for housing still far exceeded, and even now continues to exceed, what her agency can provide.
Suddenly, having to be home 24/7 with a person who is abusive became very untenable and very unsafe. And so the request for shelter just skyrocketed.
That was true statewide and nationally. The Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence, which is made up of 10 agencies, including the Women's Resource Center, kept its 24-hour helpline open throughout the pandemic. Some months, calls increased by up to 90% compared to the year before. And advocates say there's also been an increase in how much support those survivors need. While the demand for shelter has increased at agencies like the Women's Resource Center, so have requests for other services, like counseling, support groups, and help with public benefits.
All of a sudden, it felt like every client had an acute need, because suddenly all of the systems that they were using to provide for their families, to survive, to make ends meet, had different rules. Nobody knew how to access the supports that they needed.
Walsh says clients who previously would have needed only counseling or legal assistance were also looking for help with things like childcare, unemployment benefits, transportation, or even getting basic grocery items. Walsh and her staff have also seen new trends in the kind of abuse they're responding to. People often think of domestic violence as just physical violence, but it can also include financial, emotional, or psychological abuse.
Financial abuse is one of the big reasons why folks who are experiencing domestic violence either stay or return to an unhealthy situation, because it's hard, it's often near to impossible to be financially independent.
Walsh says that's been especially true this year, as many people lost their jobs. In more than one instance, there have been cases of abusers invoking COVID-19 as a reason to monitor their partner's every move or ignore a survivor's visitation rights with their children. And many victims are removed from their usual support systems or networks of friends, which can make it harder to access help. Walsh says this isolation and hypervigilance has also been difficult for many survivors who are no longer with an abusive partner, and even years into their journey to healing.
Those experiences of the pandemic really mimicked and mirrored some of the experiences of being in an abusive relationship. And so even folks who were no longer in those relationships were feeling triggered and needed our support.
Advocates say these emotional scars of the past year won't suddenly disappear, even as routines go back to normal. Tanya Harris, the executive director of the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
The victim is now recovering from a pandemic and also recovering from being isolated, from intimidation, from possible abuse, from children witnessing, which is another layer. And so these are all things that victims are going to work through and will need to work through in addition to everything else that will be happening, such as trying to find a job again.
On the ground in Newport, Walsh says there are likely some people who didn't feel free to call for help over the past year, but may need support moving forward.
So as much as we were seeing an increase in calls, I still believe we saw the tip of the iceberg of what was happening for folks.
And Walsh says her team will be ready, like they have been throughout the pandemic, to help survivors begin healing. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Antonia Ayers-Brown.